This is a course in miracles. It's a required course. Only the time you take it is voluntary. Free will does not mean that you can establish the curriculum about what you want to teach. It means only that you can elect what you want to take at a given time. The Course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught. Listen, it does aim, however, at removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance. The opposite of love is fear. But what is all-encompassing can have no opposite. Here's this course. We can sum it up very simply in this way. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. You listen. This is a spiritual transformation scientific research program of the Metanexus Institute on Religion and Science. Listen with me. This is a spiritual transformation program about the possibility of new frontiers in science research. It's opportunities for productive collaboration among the health and psychosocial scientists throughout human history. In our own time, people have had profound experiences with the spiritual dimension of reality. In all traditions, individuals testify that their lives are no longer the same in the aftermath of these experiences, and that they have been transformed. Here's what we need to know. Now you listen with me. Can the scientific study of the nature of such changes offer another possibility for developing new insights? Let's say the word again. Insights, improved understanding of, and greater appreciation for spiritual transforming experiences. Notice the word experience. Listen. It is interesting to note that the recent exponential increase of studies into spirituality, religion, and health in psychology shares an important focus on the basis and significant roles of spirituality in human life, but it rarely mentions spiritual transformation, I think because we're all a little afraid of the actual occurrence and want to limit ourselves, don't we? And while anthropologists have studied spiritual transformation in relation to revitalization movement and to traditional healer development in the past, these studies have not been well integrated into the other scientific literature on spirituality, and we're going to talk about why. Similarly, there is a well-established literature in religious studies on conversion experiences that have also developed without broad connections to integrated, interdisciplinary, empirical, scientific research on the neuropsychological process underlying the capacity and development of spiritual transformation in individuals and social groups. Hence, this symposium program will provide a variety of new insights and views from the lens of empirical science on spiritual transformation that will help bridge and integrate with the existing knowledge that we have about the human condition itself. I found you at last. Is that you? Is that you there? Say to me, I'm going to be myself.
I'm going to be myself.
You're going to sit down. Okay. Yeah. What do we call this? A mind transformation? Isn't it true that if I'm going to be myself, that my mind is in constant transformation? Shall we begin to teach a little bit right off about what we hoping to accomplish in this very short period of time that we have? With a certain memory pattern that can be instilled in you, it will be all the memory pattern that you need. Shall we talk about why and what it says at this, what is it, going to be a 3-day interlude, isn't it? On what, the 5th, the 6th, and the 7th, you are going to come together in a particular period in time, and you intend from this time on to increase your frequencies of self-recognition, since you're already recognizing yourself anyway, aren't you? Say to me, I know who I am.
I know who I am.
Do you really? As a matter of fact, as I look at you as a species of Homo sapien, the one thing that you don't seem to know, okay, is this true, is who you are within the context of the idea of what appears to be a universe out there, with millions of stars and billions of galaxies and all sorts of ideas in which I am mindful of a reflection of light. But there isn't anywhere that I can actually look at what I am or who I am or what I'm doing. What we hope to accomplish in this little, what you term a 3-day interlude, obviously time is completely relative to what you believe it is, within the science of the idea of how much time is actually passing. And since we're going to be in memory, all right, of a 3-day interlude that we're going to try to set up, what I will try to do is get into a 3-day reference with you. All right, we have what we call training your mind to another example of what you are within your own consciousness. This is the reason that we would be coming to this process. If the one thing that we have admitted is necessary in us, it's the fundamental idea that we are always deciding within our factor who we want to be. Yet since it's always in a place that we have located ourselves, contained within the idea of time, will be an organization. Shall we teach for a minute when I came in here? Okay, of coming in with you here on this, is this going to be Wednesday? There's Wednesday the what?
The 5th of April.
the 5th of April, in the year of our Lord, 2006. Now, notice you didn't have any problem organizing your idea of being a home and body, a human body, within a relationship of your body form. Now, the only problem you could have with that in a memory, now, this is with the admission that you actually don't know who you are or what you're doing, but you are able to use light reflections within your own mind. Look, did you see that on Wednesday? See, suddenly you've been reading your own idea of transformation of mind and are beginning to feel variations in what you thought was going to be a memory pattern that you had contained within your own body formulation about the restriction that you placed on yourself. Shall we practice for a minute? Say to me, memory.
Memory.
Obviously, the idea of the human condition contained within, I think they're terming it now, a 40,000-year cycle. Since man emerged from his idea of simply being God, okay, in the moment of space and time, as compared to eternal life, he goes through what we term a transition of his mind. And this is why we're here now, for this three-day interlude. What we'd like to do is help you practice ideas of alternatives, okay, with individual declarations. They call me a master teacher. Master being the idea of an instructor. A master, the idea that I'm going to instruct you and share with you as you instruct me. Ideas that are very fundamental to the process by which we process data within our minds about what we want to see. What we're saying, in effect, and what you have previously agreed with me, is it seems as though some of us are able to do more dramatic evidences of inventive techniques in ideas of improving our physical evaluation of ourselves in memories that we have about ourselves. And we're here for this three-day interlude because we're in a complete agreement on it. All we really have to do is recognize, and I'm going to use the term here, the extreme limitation that we have obviously imposed on ourselves. There, that you decided that as long as you're only going to be here for 3 days, or 1 day, or 1 hour, or maybe only 1 minute, that somewhere in the idea of the science idea of the mind, there's another idea that up until that moment, while it has been contained within your memory, you simply haven't been able to remember. This is the entire teaching of the species of Homo sapiens. He becomes, what is the term we use, Homo illumina. He becomes, within his factoring of conceptual self, an availability for a constancy of memory that will involve his old relationship in which he lived out a life cycle, all right, and died and went and went. Now, are you with me? Your response to that, and this is the science approach, is always, well, everybody who comes here lives within a cycle of time. Now, here's the problem that you have from the science approach idea. The idea of the science of time, okay, cannot not involve the idea of a place that you're in. Okay? Now, the science of mind that I'm offering you in my own illumination of mind, now being shared by you, is nothing but a recognition is that while I may not know where I'm from, where I'm going, or what I'm doing, I'm aware that somewhere in the entirety of the universe, there's an answer that obviously, while it may be connected momentarily to space and time, has no beginning and no end. Shall we use the word? Say to me, eternal. Now, when I suggest the idea of eternal, you immediately presume the eternal has a beginning and end. The mind that is singular in the consciousness of all the universe cannot conceive of more than a moment in the space that he occupied at the time. What do you call that? The schism? The idea there was a moment in the entirety of time, for just for that moment he was unable to tell who he was. Did that work pretty good? Am I interested particularly, shall I use the word, say to me, insight?
Insight.
Yes. What I'm interested in is the sight that you have in the particulars of reflection of light. This is at the symposium now, where everybody that you're seeing here is in your individual memory, all right? And it's actually not being shared by the other memories who have set up parameters of what they want to be true within their own enclosure of a space that they occupy, okay? It's called a matrix of energy. What it is if there's a whole universe out there, somewhere we attempt to communicate until and still retain our separate minds. That is, the teaching at this symposium for the 3-day interlude is to train your mind in a systematic way that there is a memory. I'm going to teach just for a minute, I feel like it, within you that has no connection to what appears to be your beginning and your end here. And when you and I look out into the universe at 186,000 miles a second, okay, what does the speed of the light have to do if it requires a space occupation? The other reason that we're here on this episode of the idea that the cause of me, and I'm going to read it to you right now, the cause of my consciousness, okay, at the minimum begins to include the effects of the memories that I have, and that somewhere contained within me, I have the entirety of the effects of my mind. And I know it. And you know it. And you have been using masters and leaders and ideas, and we can name them all if you want to. Buddha and Jesus and the Rig Veda. All of the things that go with that are memories that you have about as Homo sapien. The problem you have is you divide them into organizations of conceptual self and live within the limitation rather than making a simple admission, at the minimum, that somewhere out in the entirety of the universe is a singular reality which has included me in. There you saw it. This is Wednesday. A lot of you just saw it on the day. See that? Here, we do a mind training idea on particular days. This is why you're spending this 3 days in Berkeley. We do this mind training on a 3-day interlude. And today, which was the 5th of April, was it? There's a particular lesson that I'm going to do for you. This will just take a few minutes. But it's a lesson that verifies everything. The idea who has organized this thing with a full knowledge of what he is. And there's a lot of us around like that. But our requirement is not so much the idea of the examination of it, As a matter of fact, the examination of it will always limit us to what we want to see if we are going to use the term transformation of our mind. Because the moment that we would hold on to a memory that we have in our mind, while it could be perfectly proper, the only time it could possibly occur is when.
Yeah.
Did you say now? When?
Yeah.
Oh, did you say here? You said here and now? You get it, just stay with it. In other words, the only time I can be present with you in this 3-day episode is here and now, all right? I'm going to be right back with it. Here's what I'm going to do. I'll read you the idea of the lesson for today, if you'll promise you'll read it at least once. Here with the ideas that we are at, mind, spiritual transformation of my mind. And let it not be in regard to whether you are particularly a religious guy or a scientist guy or a plumber or a dishwasher. Any ideas you have in your concept only interests me as an example of what you actually have in a capacity of the power of your mind to use that light. Okay, this is going to be lesson 95. All right, on the 95th day, set up as a human being within a relationship of recognition of yourself. Okay, here's what it sounds like. Here you are, lesson 95. I'm one self, united with my Creator. Today's idea accurately describes you as God created you, God being the single source of all reality. You are one within yourself, and you are one with Him. Yours is the unity of all creation. Your perfect unity makes change in you impossible. Listen with me. You're not accepting this yet, but you will at any moment. You fail to realize it must be so only because, and now we're going to get into the teaching, you believe that you've changed yourself already, since the only time you could change yourself is a memory that you brought with you just a moment ago. Now, we're going to attempt to enlighten you in this way, because you see yourself as a ridiculous parody on God's creation. Look at you, human being. You're weak, and you're vicious, and you're ugly, and you're sinful, and you're miserable, and you're beset with pain, and such is your version of yourself. Listen, a self divided into many warring parts, separate from God and held together by its erratic and capricious maker to which you pray for all of your relief. It doesn't hear your prayer. It's deaf. It only hears itself within its own arrangement. It does not see the oneness in you, for it's blind. It can't see. It gets a reflection of its own light. It does not understand that you are the Son of God, for it is senseless and it understands absolutely nothing. Now, here's what we're doing now in this practice. We're going to take just a little break. It's about a minute and a half break. And in that time, if you'll let it occur with me, the memory that you're having right now, okay, we hope right here on this Wednesday, is going to be included in with the memories that you had that are all over. What you had to remember with me, and I'm going to use the sentence here at the break because it's important. You're going to listen to me in memory. There is no link of memory to the past. The entire teaching that I offer you in my certainty of the illumination of my mind, than whatever else, and you're going to be saying it right now in this little two-minute break, which could be 100 years, it could be 1,000 years. It probably is not going to be over about 40,000 years, because the moment the idea of a pertainment of a featherless biped, I shouldn't use that expression, the idea that I am a Homo sapien and confined to this when I can see a spirit of revolution of the universe out there, at the very minimum, it has become an idea. And you love the idea of being yourself. Because if there's one thing we can say about the human nature of man, is fundamentally, he's going to be himself. No, that does not mean he does not like it, or it does not mean he may like it and he may not, but it does mean that I'm going to leave you now, and I saw you recognize yourself. What you got momentarily was a better reflection of a memory you have of what appears to be out there, even though it's actually in your mind. What I got from you was a better reflection of an exchange in the love that I'm feeling for you, in the recognition that we can escape from this bondage of space-time that has held us, and the idea that we're never going to be journeying out into the star. We're going to be confined to this idea. Now, you already have another idea. I'm going to take this 2 or 3 day interlude and give you a frequency that will make you so happy you won't know what to do. Are you still going to be yourself? Of course. You're going to be yourself no matter what you do. The admission of that can be a big step in the so-called scientific approach. If there's no distance between the cause of you and the effect of you, since there's no distance in the entirety of the universe, you couldn't possibly have anything to worry about. I'm going to talk a little bit about it when I come back, because I want to get you off the distinctions between particularly people doing particular things, because anybody that any people can do, all people can do, because God is in his heaven and all is right with the world.
Whether you are here or yonder, whether you are false or true, whether you remain or wander, I'm growing fonder of you. Even though your friends forsake you, even though you don't succeed, wouldn't I be glad to take you, give you the break you need? More than you know, more than you know, man of my heart, lately I find you're on my mind more than you know. Whether you're right, whether you're wrong, man of my you need me so, more than you'll ever know. loving you the way that I do. There's nothing I can do about it. Loving may be all I can give, but honey, I can't live without it. If you grew tired and said goodbye more than I show, more than you'll ever know. If you grew tired and said goodbye more than I show, more than I'll ever, more than you.
All I can tell you is that's one of my favorite songs. It's good to be here. Thank you for coming back for this second half hour. How much interlude passed? A lot. What we did was go back to some very old Hinduism. I went back just for a moment to how man got here in the first place. You call this the Old Testament of Jesus. What you have to remember with me is we're just memories of ourselves, and we're always coming into situations, aren't we, where we seem to be involved in ideas of memory, all right? Now, the idea that we tell stories in association of what we want to be are the nature of how you identify yourself. How else are you going to know who you are? You say, well, say to me, everybody does that. Everybody. Of course. And everybody lives within a cycle that seems to entrap them in an idea in their mind about a longevity of time, after which they will no longer be here. How interesting. What an interesting idea. Obviously, if there is a single source of reality, the only time you could really be here is now. Shall I teach just for a moment about Hinduism before? I mean, this goes back as old as man is. This is an old Chinese proverb, incidentally. I don't want you to think I'm teaching particular religions. I'm not. What I'm offering you is my certainty that yourself as a human condition has within it a capacity of the entire universe. It has in it no restriction. It has all of the power there will ever be in light or darkness. It can go anywhere it wants to go and do anything it wants to do. What does it mostly want to do? It wants to love. You see that? In other words, I know that you have a distinction between what constitutes love, for example, and what constitutes the idea of unlove or less than love, okay? What I'm offering you is my certainty you're going to feel a lot better if you can love than if you have to hate. Now, the fundamental reason for that, and this is in the Rig Veda, this is in the original teaching, that the only one you can really hate is yourself. This is difficult for you. Because you intend, unlike Jesus, who would say to you, you're going to have to love your neighbor as yourself, with your mind, with your heart, with your spirit in reflection of light, and your neighbor as yourself. Shall we teach why? Your neighbor is an idea of how you feel about yourself, and that's going to be true whether you like it or not. All man has always known in moments of sitting in the idea of this entire cycle of the idea of entrapment in space-time that there was a universe out there. What this is doing in this little interlude is increasing that frequency of possibility. I would be remiss if I wasn't allowed to read to you just a little bit about the joy that I feel, okay, in the lyric with the music of how much we enjoy being together. Listen with me. This is a call to the quest. Listen. O force compelled, fate driven, earth born race. O petty adventurer in an infinite world, prisoners of a dwarf humanity. How long will you tread the circling tracks of mind around your little self and petty thing? But not for a changeless littleness were you meant, not for a vain repetition were you built. Out of the immortal's substance you were made. Your actions can be swift revealing steps, your life a changeful mold for growing gods. A seer, a strong creator is within. The immaculate grandeur broods upon your days. Almighty powers are shut in nature's cells. A greater destiny waits you in your front. This transient earthly being, if he wills, can fit his axe to a transcendent scheme. He who now stares at the world with ignorant eyes, hardly from the inconscient night aroused, that look at images and not at truth, can fill these orbs with an immortal sight. Yet shall the Godhead grow within your hearts. You shall awake into the Spirit's air and feel the breaking walls of mortal mind and hear the message which left life's heart dumb. And look through nature with sun-gazing lids and blow your conch shells at the eternal gate. Authors of Earth's high change, to you it is given to crush the dangerous spaces of the soul and touch the mighty mother stark awake and meet the omnipotent in this house of flesh and make of life the million-bodied one. The earth you tread is a border screen from heaven. The life you lead conceals the light in you. You listen to me from Rig Veda. There is a power within that knows beyond our knowings. We are greater than our thoughts. And sometimes Earth unveils that vision here. To live, to love are signs of infinite things. Love is a glory from eternity's sphere. Abased, yes, disfigured, mocked by baser mites that steal his name and shape and ecstasy He is still the Godhead by which all can change. A mystery wakes in our inconscient stuff. A mystery waits in our inconscient stuff. I want to say, if it's all right with you, as long as we're going to spend a couple of days together, the idea that you are willing to examine within your own possibility, the idea that what I am offering you has been with man since the beginning of time. We have a tendency to believe until we begin to admit to the experiences that are possible that we do not know, feel, or understand the possibilities of memories that are contained within us. The very simple reason that we don't, if we looked at the lesson that we did in the first half hour, is that we're only going to be oneself. Now, the idea that you have to admit I'm responsible for what I'm seeing and everything that's happened to me I'm causing is not a particularly nice thing to do. How could it be? You don't like yourself very well, or you love yourself too much or not enough, but whatever else you do, the simple truth of the matter is you have no real idea who you are in the conscient idea of a definition of a cause and effect relationship that appears to separate you. This was the lesson that we did on the 94th day. We did it on the 95th day. And now we're going to do the 96th day. We're going to do Thursday. What a fascinating idea. If I'm going to be one self with myself, and I intend to read the idea of the beautiful Hinduism, the idea that mind itself can have multiple gods if it's Jews, but who cares? There's still only going to be one Zeus. There's still only going to be one entirety. And the idea that the entirety of me would be concerned about me from the standpoint of the totality of the universe, is not a very scientific approach. The reason that you use it is that each time you verify yourself within a cycle of space-time, it represents the entirety of yourself. Is it who you really are? Well, you can only be one self. Now, fortunately, the idea that we're going to spend today here now and tomorrow and Friday, you're going to be able to say, well, I don't know about this mind training, but whatever else I'm being told, it says there's always some other consciousness within my mind, another idea about myself that I will include in with ideas that previously perhaps offended me. Perhaps previously I didn't like the idea of that performance. Does it include the admission that you can do things better than we ever could? It takes absolutely nothing. What it tries to increase your doing is the idea that the act of doing itself will contain the entirety of possibility, whether you see it in a reflection of light, all right, or whether you see it as a dim idea of darkness contained within a sleeping mind that it looks like he's just about to awaken. Did you have that feeling of lesson 96?
Yeah.
Did you have that feeling of something on Thursday? Is Thursday a good day to have that? Yeah. Do you divide your cycles into days, elements of 7 days or 50? Of course. Now, all you really have to look at from the standpoint of the idea of all of space-time, this is the adventure of the speed of light, is a fundamental idea that you're measuring an invention of time within your mind that gives you a space. And as long as you occupy that space, you will have a memory somewhere of coming here, being here, and leaving. All I'm really doing is increasing the frequency on Thursday that, yes, there's only going to be one self. And since you came here, and today is Thursday, and you're going to be leaving tomorrow, you might as well look at what we have to say today. In the mind training of A Course in Spiritual Transformation. You call it a miracle? It's a miracle. Are you kidding? It's something brand new. Say to me, it's a miracle. Well, you know perfectly well that just a moment ago, the idea you had about Wednesday was not contained, and suddenly, within this whole 40,000 year cycle, you're discovering the idea of what we term homo lumina, or the idea of light that is present with you, okay, that will cause us to be a lot happier than we were just a moment ago. I want you to be happy on Thursdays, okay? Because one more day, Friday, and you'll get 3 days off, okay? Will you listen with me to what it says about today? About there being only one self? Listen. You may be well tempted to regard yesterday or today as lost because you have already failed to do what is required. Don't feel that way. This should, however, merely be recognized of what it is. It's a refusal to let your mistake be corrected right now and an unwillingness to try again. Let all of these errors go by recognizing them for what they are. They are attempts to keep you unaware that you are one self united with your Creator, at one with every aspect of creation, and limitless in power and in peace. This is the truth, and nothing else is true. And today, we're going to affirm this truth again and try to reach the place, notice it said place, in you in which there is no doubt and that you recognize who you are. I am one self, united with my Creator, at one with every aspect of creation, and limitless in power and in peace. I am one self, united with my Savior, with everything that I attempt to do. I am one self, in perfect harmony with all there is and all that there will ever be. I'm going to honor you because of what I am, and what he is as my brother, who loves both of us as one. I'm back just for a moment. It's the idea of the action, if I'm going to teach here on Thursday, is the recognition that there's only one self requires, among other things, the action of my mind to expand from me a particular place that I have come to that I do not at that moment recognize as my own, although it's obviously in a different frequency of light than the one that I saw just that long ago. That is, I'm in a different frequency of light. I'm in a different place. Will you listen to me what it says about Thursday? Listen. Salvation comes from my one self. That isn't hard. Key lesson number 96. Although you are one self, you experience yourself as two, as both good and evil, and loving and hating, and mind and body. And this sense of being split into opposites induces feelings of acute and constant conflict and leads to frantic attempts to reconcile the contradictory aspects of your own identity of yourself. You have sought many such solutions, and none of them have worked. The opposites you see in you will never be compatible because one exists. In other words, there's only going to be one in all the universe. The fact that truth and illusions cannot be reconciled, no matter how you try to do it, what means you use, and where you see the problem, must be accepted if you would be saved from the idea of yet another conflict of pain and loneliness and death. Until you have accepted this, you will attempt an endless list of goals you cannot possibly reach, a senseless series of expenditures of time and effort, hopefulness and doubt. Each one is futile as the one before, and failing as the next one surely will do. Problems that have no meaning cannot be resolved within the framework they are set. Two selves in conflict could not be resolved, and good and evil have no meeting place. The self you make can never be yourself, nor can yourself be split in two and still be what it is and must forever be. You listen to me. A mind and a body cannot both exist. Make no attempt to reconcile the two, for one denies the other can be real. If you are physical, your mind is gone from your self-concept, for it has no place in which it could really be a part of you. If you are spirit, and this is our entire teaching in this three-day episode, you are a transformative spirit, and the body will be meaningless to your reality except for the necessity to transform it. Mind, apart from spirit, cannot think. It has denied its source of strength and sees itself as helpless, limited, and weak. Disassociated from its function now, it thinks it is alone and separate, attacked by armies massed against itself and hiding in the body's frail support. Now, must it reconcile unlike with like, for this is what it thinks that it is. We don't want to waste any more time on this. Now, you listen with me. If you succeed right now at today's lesson, the thoughts that come to you will tell you that you are saved by the idea of being who you really are, and that your mind has found the function that it had sought to lose in order to keep your identity separate from yourself. And yourself will welcome it and give it peace. And restoring strength, it will again flow from the spirit of your mind. And your mind will bless all things, and all the confusion you have about being separate from yourself will be gone. Now, each time today, and this is invaluable to you on Thursday, tell your frantic mind that salvation comes from my one self. You lay another treasure in your glowing store of memories of how much we love each other and the idea there's a whole universe waiting for us out there. And all of it is given everyone who asked for it and accept its gift. Think then how much is given unto you to give this day that it be given to you. You know how much time has actually passed on this idea that we're in this mind training? What do we call this? The scientific transformation of the ideas that we have about ourselves include other ideas that are waiting within our minds for our release as an idea of a body form. And while they're momentarily going to include the reflection of light that represents what we want to see, the simple fact of the matter is the science of transformation of our mind is what the requirement is, very simply, because life itself is in our mind. Life itself is the way that I'm thinking with you right now, using the power of the universe, not as a body, as a momentary reflection of light in preparation for tomorrow's lesson, which are going to say that I'm spirit. This is why we're here for this three-day interview. We appear to be consciousness of reflected light. Suddenly, we begin to feel good about the other association. We may not recognize that that's at that time that he's actually us, but that's okay. You may have just a moment ago wanted nothing whatsoever to do with him, and all of a sudden you let your own mind be changed, and you notice how rapidly his mind changes, and you begin to love one another. I'm going to be with you again here in just one more lesson, and it's going to be for Friday, and we'll do it so that when you come into this setup, and this has already happened, this is an old sequence of time that was very successful in the idea of the science of transformation of your mind within the spirit of the idea that the universe awaits your journeying out, and that you're not captive to the dark energy that appears to be forcing you back into time. You're free. And I'm seeing you as a bright light. Thank you for that light. Will you turn to the guy next? You're going to turn to the guy and say, thank you for that light? Yes, tomorrow will be Friday, and we're going to do it together in the idea that you want to change your mind individually. Never mind the other guy. He's waiting for you. He's a little bit afraid somewhere that you might use all of the power of your mind and simply leave this space-time episode. Simply leave this space-time episode. I'll see you in just a moment. Remember, God is going with us wherever we go, and we can't get away from that. And that's really why we're so happy about this little interlude. About this little interlude.
Jason McElwain was at practice today doing what he does every day. As a student assistant, he helps out the team. But all that changed on Wednesday night. That's when Coach Jim Johnson decided to give Jason his shot to suit up and play.
He said, this is your senior present. This is your last chance to ever get out on the floor as an actual basketball player for that night.
Jason, or J-Mac as he is known, is medically diagnosed as highly functioning autistic. He's also loved by his teammates and fellow students. That's why they came to the game with his face on signs. And when he entered the game, they went crazy.
My emotions started running wild. I actually sat down and I started to tear up. I was like, oh my God, this is happening.
Jason got in the game, took a pass, and took a shot. He missed badly.
First possession, he gets the ball, he shoots an air ball. He misses like by 6 feet, and I put my hands in my head, I'm out. Please, Lord, just get him a basket.
1 minute later, he got his hoop. A three-pointer that set the gym on fire.
I was very excited. The team was excited. Everybody else was excited.
But J-Mac wasn't done. He kept shooting and kept hitting. Another three and another three.
I was on fire. It was hotter than a pistol.
When he was done, he had hit a team record tying 6 3-pointers. The crowd stormed the court and put Jason on their shoulders.
It was one of those special moments that, as an athletic director, if I retired today, this would be the one thing that I talked about forever.
Jason's playing career is done, but his celebrity continues at school.
Everybody, I was late to every single class. Everybody was saying congratulations.
So you got a superstar on your team now.
Yeah, he's like a celebrity in school. He's loving every bit of it, too. You see him smiling all the time.
In Rochester, New York, this is Mike Catalano reporting.